Broadcasting worldwide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome. You're in the clubhouse. It's another gorgeous day, depending where you are on the planet. Of course, we're going to have a partly sunny day today, some windward and mocha showers. That means mountains, scattered showers throughout the islands. In fact, we've got a cool day in the forecast. The winds are out of the northeast to about 15 miles per hour. Olomana is closed today. That's on the windward side of Oahu, where the rain came down. Torrential downpours today. We'll have some more information about golf courses, like just Royal Hawaiian playing the back nine twice today instead of going deep into the valley, you know, Jurassic Park and all. But the weather here is nothing like it is at Pebble Beach, where Jimmy Walker and Jordan Spieth share the lead. Jimmy Walker, no bogeys. Three birdies, really good par saves, he says. A 30-foot putt. It was a wild day on Spyglass. It was a wild day everywhere, Cyprus and Pebble Beach. But he's sharing the lead going into the weekend. Two Texans. What is special, Jimmy Walker, about playing Pebble Beach?
I wish I really knew. I do like playing golf out here. I think, you know, playing Pebble Beach is pretty amazing. Every time we come out here and we play, and we're playing a practice round the other day, and it's just beautiful out here. You're like, wow, we're really out here, you know, kind of doing this, and it's pretty cool. But, you know, I'm from Texas. I didn't play on this grass growing up. I don't know. I just enjoy it. I've seemed to play well out here. I really like playing Riviera next week, and all the I didn't play well at Torrey a couple weeks ago, but I enjoy playing there. And so I don't know what it is, but I do like playing out here.
Jordan Spieth, also a Texan, says he's accustomed to playing in the wind, but usually in Texas when it rains, there's thunder and lightning, and they don't play golf. Well, in the clubhouse this morning, we're joined by Parker McLaughlin. He just spent 4 days on Morning Drive, co-hosting on Golf Channel. We're going to talk to him about his experience right after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
And we've got the Valentine's Day special at Acura of Honolulu. You try out a new 2014 RLX, and if you like it and you take it home, well, they'll throw in a sweet Valentine's Day package to help you treat that someone in your life very, very special. You get a dinner for two at the luxurious Morton's Restaurant, half dozen roses delivered to the significant other's home, place of business, wherever you'd like to impress him or her, and you'll get a gift certificate to Robert Palma Designs, home of some of the island's most luxurious custom luxury jewelry. Of course, Acura offers rates as low as 0.9% on all of the new 2014 RLXs to help you save and splurge a bit on that someone special. See TJ and tell him you heard about it on the Golf Club. His number is 942-4555. Now, let's welcome Hawaii's very own. He lives in Arizona because it's probably easier to travel. He's a PGA Tour member. He is a champion on the PGA Tour, won the Reno Tahoe, and welcome to the show, Parker McLaughlin. Good to hear you.
Oh, absolutely. Great to be here, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Fabulous seeing you on Golf Channel's Morning Drive for 4 days.
That was fun. It was a blast to be there.
You're on the set with Gary Williams, Damon Hack, Matt Janella. What a crew to have fun with. What was that like going on the set? What did you like most about it? What did you like least about it?
The whole production was fun. It was thrilling to be on live TV. You know, anything can happen, and you're not sure what's going to happen next. But, you know, it was thrilling. You know, I enjoyed the prep work, you know, studying up on different players and golf courses and You know, that week was the Phoenix Open week, so being able to talk about, you know, the TPC Scottsdale, which I play a lot of golf at, and the 16th hole, and so that was really fun. But then when that, you know, when they're counting down, all right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then the red light goes on and the show's on, and you know, it was a thrill to be in that type of environment, and a thrill to, you know, really get your heart pumping. I likened it to standing on the first tee at a U.S. Open, where you just, you know, everything's, you know, you're just nervous, that nervous energy, and it was really similar to that for me, and that was really cool.
Yeah, and it lasts for 2 hours.
Yeah, fortunately, it fades a little bit throughout the show, and you get a little more comfortable, but, you know, the hardest part about it is, you know, you're sitting around in that, you know, sort of that interview desk and the forum and talking different things, and you might be talking about Bubba Watson, and I might have something that I wanted to say about Bubba Watson, but the guy, you know, Charlie Reimer may have just said what I wanted to say, and now I've got to come up with something completely different, and so I think that was the hard part. I mean, I had that happen a couple of times where I had planned out in my head, okay, this is what I want to talk about this particular subject, and right before I was about to, it was my turn to say, you know, the producer's in my ear saying, okay, Parker, you're next. And then I'm listening to whoever was speaking, Charlie or Paige or Damon, and they would say exactly what I wanted to say. And then I'm like, uh-oh, I got to scramble. I have to come up with something different.
But you handled it well. You're quick on your feet then. You know, when you think about it that way, when people realize what's going on, you're being talked to in your earpiece while you're getting ready to talk on camera, which camera are you going to look at? You know, all of those things, all those factors, the red lights, the people around you, just, it's a lot. Could you do this for a living, like talking about golf, teaching golf on television? You gave some great tips.
Yeah, you know, I had a blast doing it. I got a lot of great feedback. You know, the interesting thing is, you know, there was no like training or, you know, it was just like, hey, this is how, there's no like somebody there holding my hand telling me how to go through and go through the entire show. It was just like, you're moving from one to the next. And if you weren't there, you know, somebody would just yell in your ear like, hey, you know, you need to be a simulator or whatever. And I, you know, and you're running from one place to the next. And it, you know, there was no hand holding or anything like that. It was very just like, hey, you're thrown in the shark tank, and you're either sinking or you're swimming.
Yeah, it's a trial by fire, you know?
Yeah,
because they really can't teach live television. Yeah, you can't teach live radio. You just have to learn it and go with it and love it. And I think,
yep,
you know, but the teaching part, you know, that's so critical, I think, to the whole show and Golf Channel. To have people like yourself, a champion on the PGA Tour, Parker McLaughlin, of course, went to Punahou School, then on to college, then on to the PGA Tour. Do you miss competitive golf? Are you going to still play competitively?
Yeah, I'm still banging it around, and I'm going to go do the Monday qualifier for the LA Open next Monday. This coming up Monday, and you know, but this is a fun opportunity that Golf Channel had reached out to me and said, you know, hey, we're looking for some young, new talent. We'd like to make Morning Drive a little younger and bring in a younger demographic. And, you know, would you be interested in doing some work with us? So I said, sure. So I just went back there and I actually auditioned before I went on the show. I auditioned in December, middle of December, and they liked it enough to invite me out to come do those 4 days in the Phoenix week. And I literally have not gotten, I've gotten a lot of feedback from friends and family and people on Twitter and stuff saying that I did a good job. They enjoyed it. But I have literally gotten no feedback from anyone at the Golf Channel as to if it was good or not good or if they liked it or didn't like it.
That's media.
I think that's TV.
Yeah, that's it. You know, you got to, before we take a break and come back, I do want to talk to you. It was hot list week on Morning Drive. I'd like to talk with you. Golf Digest talks about all of their new product lines, you know, the drivers, the irons, the putters, the hybrids, the rescues. Can we talk about what you in your bag?
Sure.
That would be fabulous, what you're playing. And I'd like to know some of the things like, how often do you change a club, or is there a club in your bag that you haven't changed in years because you just love it so much? I think that's one of the things a lot of people wonder, you know, gosh, you know, I really like this putter. I've had it for years. Do I need to change? We'll be back right after this. We're talking with Parker McLaughlin. You know him. He grew up in Hawaii, and he was on the PGA Tour. He won on the PGA Tour. Golf Channel did a really good job during Morning Drive. My name's Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Why wait to drive the Acura ILX? Why wait to experience design with purpose? An exterior so unique, you have to see it to believe it. Why wait to grab life by the wheel when you can do it now with paddle shifters in the Acura ILX? Why wait another 25 years to get what you want? The 2014 Acura ILX. Don't wait. Have a quarter-life crisis.
The 2014 ILX. Visit your local Acura dealer today.
The Acura RDX is incredibly spacious, with over 38 inches of rear legroom and over 76 cubic feet of cargo space. With leather-trimmed seating surfaces, the RDX interior was named one of Ward's 10 Best. The 2014 Acura RDX. Create your own space in the world. Acura reminds you to properly secure items stored in cargo area.
The 2014 RDX. Visit your local Acura dealer today.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911. Or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
On the LET Tour, Cheyenne Woods is in the lead, and on the AT&T Pro-Am, well, at Pebble Beach, the PGA Tour, Graham McDowell was talking with the press before. He's always great in the press room. He says he's starting off this event because it's kind of easy, you know, it's the pin placements aren't really difficult, and he gets to shake the rust off, and he's playing with Dad, and that's an awesome experience. Now, they're kind of below the projected cut line of 2 under. They'll make the cut today, but Clint Eastwood performed the Heimlich maneuver for the first time in his life on AT&T Pro-Am Tournament Director, and Steve John said it was like Clint Eastwood just saved his life. Now, this is what Graham McDowell said is on his father's wish list for this week. If this happens,
I think this is a special golf tournament. It's got a lot of tradition. A lot of great players have been through this golf tournament, and a lot of very famous people. So now we're having fun, embracing it. I think my dad's bucket goal for the week is really to have a beer with Clint Eastwood, hopefully on Friday night. So that's the goal for the week.
You gotta
love it. If we achieve that, we'll be happy.
You gotta love it. Okay, well, I hope they managed to do that last night. I haven't heard whether or not they had that beer with Clint Eastwood. We're talking with Parker McLaughlin. He grew up in Hawaii, went to Punahou School, and, of course, on Morning Drive for 4 days, he really held his own. You did a great job, Parker. It was awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it was fun. It was a new and exciting experience, and I really enjoyed it.
We're going to talk about what's in your bag. You know, all of the, we had the PGA show and all the major lines came out with what there, and then there's the hot list, the gold, the silver, and everybody's represented on the hot list. What do you play?
Well, starting with the driver, I just got fit a couple months ago with TaylorMade over at Cool Club in Scottsdale, and I went through all the different drivers, Ping, TaylorMade, Titleist, all the different drivers, and it turned out the TaylorMade works best for me. So I've been using that for the last couple of months, and I'm looking forward to maybe the Titleist coming out with another one here. Probably the next 3 or 4 months. You know, they usually come out with a new one, kind of middle of the summer before the odd year. You know, the 2015 year. So I'm looking forward to that. I've got a 9-13 three wood in my bag that I really like from Titleist, and then. I've got one hybrid that's a 3-iron, a Titleist hybrid that's like 21 degrees, a little bit of a strong 3-iron. And then I go 4-iron through pitching wedge, and that's the 714 AP2, the latest, latest AP2 iron from Titleist. I carry three other wedges besides my pitching wedge. I got a 52, 56, and a 60 degree. And I've always kind of, loved having a lot of options with wedges. I feel like those are the scoring clubs. And for me, I think that, that's where a lot of the game is, and being able to dial in the right distance is so important. Mm-hmm. And then with putter, I've actually used the same Odyssey 2-ball putter for 13 years now.
There you go.
Started in 2001. Yeah, so I people always ask, putter, do you change putters a lot? Or, I said, you got to have a great relationship with your putter. I remember if my putter, a while back, if my putter wasn't acting correctly, I'd bring it into the bed and we'd snuggle together. The next day it would perform a lot better. So you got to have a great relationship with your putter.
I've never heard that one before. That's great. And so if you're having a hard time with your putter, your relationship's a little off, take it to bed. Snuggle.
That's right. You snuggle with it, show it some love, and it will show you some love the next day on the golf course.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. So that's the one club that you haven't changed in a long time. Is there another? Are one of the wedges close? Are you close with them?
Yeah, but the wedges, because you go through the grooves so quickly, you're having to constantly change out, especially my 60 degree. I'm changing that out probably twice a year, probably every four or five months. I change out my 60 degree. So you can't really, that's more of a fleeting relationship. It's never going to last forever. So with the putter, it could possibly last forever.
For your life.
And with the driver, it's not going to really work like that, because there's going to be new technology. Sometimes you may cave the face in, you may get a crack in the face, so you can never really, get too attached to a driver. But, I remember there's a lot of guys I remember Brant Snedeker, he went through a phase where he hit this certain black driver for years with TaylorMade, and then all of a sudden TaylorMade comes out with a white one. Brant didn't really like it, but kept hitting his black TaylorMade and kept hitting the great, and then all of a sudden it cracked, and It took him 6-7 months of not hitting the driver well. They tried to replicate it and everything. So, when you find something that you like, it's a good idea to stick with it and it's just treat it well.
I love it. I mean, that's so important. Even with the temptation of the technological advances, all of the R&D groups that are working so hard and coming out all the time with new stuff, if you find something that works for you and it's working for you now, don't change. I mean, there's a temptation because it's new and it's shiny. Watch out for those new shiny things. We're the EWGA. We have a chapter in Hawaii now, the Executive Women's Golf Association, and it brings in new players, people who don't have a handicap. They can join the club, get their handicap, move on to other clubs, stay with us. We're having a clinic. Mary B. Porter King is flying from Kauai tomorrow to put on this mini clinic for the EWGA members and guests at Pearl Country Club. It starts at 3:00. Let me know if you'd like to be there. I wanted to ask you, Parker, one final question. Has knowing the rules better than most, it seems? I mean, a lot of people don't seem to know the rules. Like DA Points was disqualified at Pebble Beach for putting a training aid under it. It was a little squishy ball, put it underneath his arm. But that's against the rules. And he did it. He was DQ'd. He's going to play today. But burrowing Animal Hole, for instance, Bubba Watson took relief from that, right, last week?
Yep.
Has knowing a rule saved you?
Yeah, I think you know, knowing the rules can definitely only benefit you. You know, you can, you know, like Bubba Watson did, you can find a way to get a free drop. I remember I was playing not that long ago, actually Q School this past year in Houston, and I had hit my drive on this par five a little left, and ended up literally right behind a tree, this big pine tree, and I get in there to, I can stay, my left foot is basically, you know, kind of on the stump of the tree, you know, the base of the tree there, and I'm trying to make a swing and try to chip it out, but I'm thinking, well, my club's probably going to break on the follow-through, you know, the shaft is going to break, and then I look down onto my left foot, and there's all these ants, fire ants, that are crawling out of their hole.
Oh, my God.
And so I called a rules official, and I said, look, you know, I happened to look down, fortunately, before these things started crawling up, but, you know, this is obviously, my stance is right on a fire ant hole. And he said, yeah, you're right, you get relief. And so I was able to take relief, and actually, rather than just chipping out with an 8-iron, or, you know, I was able to get a hybrid on it and get it, you know, 20 yards short of the green and be able to get up and down and make birdies. So, you know, you gotta, if you know the rules, they can really help you. And, you know, it's always good to brush up on your rules knowledge, because, you know, you never know when you might be able to take a free drop that, you know,
yes,
that, you may have had to play from, you know, if you didn't know the rules.
You don't have to stand in fire ants.
Right, it's a dangerous situation, so you can take a free relief from that.
Awesome. Parker McLaughlin, I hope you'll be a guest again soon, because it's fun talking with you.
Absolutely, anytime, Daniel. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, and good luck. You know, may you hit the sweet spot every time at the L.A. Open. Want to see
okay,
play? All right.
You.
Aloha. We're going to talk about rules. At Pinehurst right now, the USGA is having its annual meeting, and there may be some tweaks, and we'll talk with Ron Cyrak, executive editor, Golf World, senior writer of Golf Digest, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back into the clubhouse. And in comes Ron Cyrak, the executive editor, Golf World, senior writer, Golf Digest, author of Vision 54, the trilogy, at the USGA annual meeting in Pinehurst. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You were just talking with Parker about standing in, you know, fire ants and getting relief from it, and how important it is to know the rules. What's up with the range finders? Is something going to change about using the range finders?
Yeah, you're going to be able to use them in any amateur event, and essentially. They're following what the RNA's already done on this, and you know, it's sort of always been there as a local rule, but the change that they're announcing here is this year they'll be able to use rangefinders in the U.S. Amateur, but not in the U.S. Open or the U.S. Women's Open.
Uh-huh.
Not in the pro events. Yep.
Okay, so exactly. So just in amateur events, but on a professional level, that's still up to the caddy to determine.
Yeah, you know, I think what they're doing here, and they allowed the use of distance measuring devices at the women's state team championship last fall and to study it, to see its impact on pace of play. And, you know, the basic thinking here is that the information that a rangefinder tells you already exists on the golf course, you know, but they're just saving you the time of going to find a sprinkler head to see what your yardage is. And the devices they're not allowed to tell you wind speed, they're not allowed to tell you green slope. The only information that they can give you is distance.
So do they believe that it'll increase the pace of play?
They think it'll speed the game up, you know, and because it'll keep people from wandering around looking for sprinkler heads to find their yardage on. Now, you know, I've been to some college tournaments, and the annoying thing that you see there is you've got three guys standing within 5 yards of each other, and they've each got their rangefinders out instead of, you know, one of them needs to use it and just say, hey, bud, we're at 135, you know, and just, you know, because you're allowed to share information on the golf course. You can't give advice. You can't solicit advice. But information like yardage is something that you're allowed to share.
Okay, that's really good to know, because it does seem ridiculous to have everybody out there with their rangefinder. We could just, you know, yeah, I can see where your ball is, and that's where the hole is, and that's what you got. And then you can ask, well, how far is it from my ball, not just to the hole, but to the bunker? You can ask that information, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, what you can't do is you know, give advice about, like, what club do you think I should hit, you know? And, you know, I mean, that's now you're getting advice. But information, which is considered something that it exists, it's there. It's not a state secret that you know, where you are is 145 yards from the hole. You can figure that out. They're just trying to speed up that process of figuring it out.
Excellent.
Now, look, the big things that were coming today when Tom O'Toole, who's taking over this afternoon as president of USJ, pace of play is a big issue, and how do we make the game more welcoming? You know, how do we make people feel, new players and people who don't play a lot, and how do we make them feel welcome? So they really seem to be moving to the front burner these issues of trying to make golf a more fun experience when you go out and play. Get around the course faster and feel like the people want you to be there.
Sometimes the rules, you know, and I go back to this, I know the rules are sacrosanct, and they can be changed and modified by the rules people, but once they're put into place, they have to be followed. Today, there was a huge argument over DA points, putting a training aid under his arm at Pebble Beach. It was one of those squishy balls that makes you hold yourself together, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And some people said that's not a big enough violation to be DQ'd from an event. That's just wrong. What do you think?
A similar thing happened to Julie Inkster a couple of years ago. She had a weighted club in her bag, and she got to a par three, and there was like a three-group backup, and she took the weighted club out and was swinging it. And you can't do it. And now look, here's where I think sometimes people love to bash the rules of golf and like to say, you know, they're too picky. Well, no, what they are is specific. And you wouldn't say if a basketball player had his toe just a little bit on the out of bounds line, you wouldn't say, well, let's forget that because he was only a little bit out of bounds. You know, you either are or you aren't. And if you have a rule in that you can't have training devices. There was another case, this happened, I think, last year when I was at Colonial, where a guy's making the turn, and there's a backup on 10T, so he goes to the practice green to putt. You're allowed to do that. But he took a training aid out while he was putting. That you can't do, because it's considered you're in the process of the round.
I remember that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people who make their living playing the game should know these things.
There
you
just
know?
Seems and, to be so many rules, and Ron, you are absolutely right. People who make their living, they need to know them. But I'm talking about people who are recreational players who are, you know, they've got a sacred 3 hours in their life that they can go out and play and hit balls, play a round of golf, hopefully in 4 or 5 hours, right?
Well, you know, we're already playing. I mean, you know, we already have de facto bifurcation in the recreational game.
Okay.
You know, we have mulligans on the first hole. We have guineas. If I hit a ball and I think I'm going to find it, and I get down there and I can't find it, I don't go back to the tee and re-hit. I'll drop a ball there, you know. And you know, we modify the game all the time on a recreational level in order to, you know, we play, and it should, you know, we play stroke control golf. I reach my handicap number on a hole, you know, I'm going to pick that golf ball up and go on to the next hole. You know, I think that for the most part, people who are avid about the game and play it a lot are also smart about not following the rules out the window.
Thank you very much. And today, I just want to tell you about the EWGA. We're hosting a walking mini rules clinic. And I say mini because a rules workshop can go for days. You know, but this mini clinic is just 2 hours. It's at Pearl Country Club. It's tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Our guest star is Mary B. Porter King, a USGA board member, former member of the PGA of America Board of Directors, 2012 PGA of America First Lady of Golf. She's a rules expert. She goes 100,000 miles a year, and she's officiated at U.S. Men's Open, Women's Open, Ryder Cup, PGA Championship, you name it. She's done it. So just for a $25 contribution to the Hawaii State the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. This is completely tax deductible. It's just, she's flying in just to do this. So if you'd like to be there, let me know. We're talking.
She is, you couldn't have a better person than Mary B, by the way. She is, she's terrific. She's a former executive committee member of the U.S. Golf Association, and she's one of the few women who gets to officiate in the men's U.S. Open. She was a forward observer at Marion last year, and I saw her there. You've got the right person.
She's awesome, and she's fun.
Yeah.
And she's fun. She's so much fun. Okay, speaking of, you know, men's and women's U.S. Opens, something at Pinehurst coming up, that back-to-back. Do you mind if we take a quick break and come back and talk about the concerns about the back-to-back U.S. Opens at Pinehurst?
Absolutely. That was one of the issues that they addressed this morning in their press conference.
Excellent. We'll be back right after this. We're talking with Ron Cyrak, executive editor, Golf World, senior writer, Golf Digest, and author of Vision 54. Check out those books. Great tips. My name's Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
You get up, you head out, you approach your Acura RLX. You push start, check surface street traffic with available Acura Link. Feel the Acura RLX's 310 horsepower pin you back. Hug the turns with precision all-wheel steer. You park, hit your desk, get it done. You head home in your 2014 Acura RLX. Your day is anything but routine. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
2014 RLX. Visit your local Acura dealer today.
The beaten path is not for everyone. That's why we designed the new Acura MDX just for you. With Jewel-Eye LED headlights so you can see what others don't. One-button access to the third row with one-touch walk-in and available Acura Link surface street traffic. Introducing the new 2014 Acura MDX. Maybe it's called the beaten path because it can be beaten. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
2014 MDX. Visit your local Acura dealer today.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
We're back, and we're going to have a partly sunny day today with windward and mauka showers, and the winds are out of the northeast. It'll be chilly. Bring a parka with you if you're going to go around a golf course today. It's going to be a lovely day to play. You won't be out there perspiring. Weather is going to be a challenge at Pebble Beach. Jordan Spieth says if he just keeps it fun, you know, he's got the lead, and he's been talking with his coach about how his mental game needs to be when he has the lead. He says if he just keeps it fun, stays loose, he's going to be just fine. And yesterday, there was a very special moment for him on number 9.
9 was one of the best birdies I've ever had in my life. Yeah, I mean, it's 195 yards, par 3, and it was into, must have been a 30, 40 mile an hour wind with the rain. Kevin Chappell hit before me. It's typically like a 6-iron distance. He hit 3-iron, and it landed and came backwards all the way down the slope. So I said, well, I don't have 3-iron, so I went to a hybrid, and I just kind of hit a little stinger cut about 20 feet away, 20 feet away. And then, you know, it's normally a straight putt, and Michael and I, my caddy, are looking at each other saying, well, we got to play this about a foot out to the right with the wind. And so I hit it foot out, and about 3 feet to go, the wind just blew it right, just broke perfectly right in the hole.
Those are the kind of days you like to have. We're talking with Ron Cyrak, executive editor of Golf World, senior writer Golf Digest, and he is at the USJ annual meeting at Pinehurst. Ron, I was just thinking, we're talking about rules and being DQ'd. You know, you think that after a while in the game, you add up your score, right? But were you surprised to hear Kari Webb was DQ'd when she signed an incorrect scorecard?
You know, it seems like it happens, you know, it happens at least once a year out there. And some, that's one of those cases where you just, and this is why, and I like when players do this. A lot of players take their caddy into the scoring tent with them, you know, to keep them focused, you know, and to go, and the caddy also, you know, will look at every number and say, you know what? No, we didn't make 4 on that hole. We made 3 or we made 5. I think it's an easy thing to take for granted, you know, and we usually see that mistake usually a couple times a year.
Yeah, it was just, you know, Kari's been around for so long, you know, and
yep.
But it's the concentration, the focus. It's a lot of the mental game becomes so critical. You can be physically in great shape, but if there's just a little something going on and you make a mistake, just the other week, it seems like, or last month, 2 months ago, someone's hip was hurting. And instead, you know, she walked away from the scorer's tent. She didn't finish, right?
And well, yeah, exactly. You can't leave the scoring area without signing your scorecard. And if you take one step out of the area, and again, it's that whole thing of, you can't be a little bit out of bounds. You're either out of bounds or you're not.
There you go.
You take one step out of the scoring area, and you're DQ'd if you haven't signed your card. Look, last year at the Masters on number 15 on Friday, we saw a classic example. Somebody as smart and as focused as Tiger Woods essentially combined 2 options into 1 option for his drop. You know, and that was a penalty. He took a bad drop, and it wasn't that he didn't know the rule. He had 3 options. He eliminated 1 of the options, and then somewhere his brain just had this cramp and combined 2 into 1. Probably because he had gotten an incredibly bad break by hitting the flagstick and having the ball bounce off, not only off the green but into the hazard.
Right. Here's a guy who's probably shocked, right? And Tiger Woods knows the rules.
Yes, he does. And really, in the almost 20 years that I've been covering him, with the exception of the oscillating ball incident at the BMW last year, I have never seen him complain against a penalty called on him. He always just nods his head and says that's part of the game and goes on with it.
There you go. Now, we've got this fabulous opportunity for the men and the women to play Pinehurst in the premier event in the USGA, the U.S. Women It's open, and the men's open will be played at Pinehurst back to back. What do you think of having the men go first and the women second?
Well, first off, I mean, you know, they're really rolling the dice on this in the whole way, in every way, no matter who goes first, because and here's the problem with the men going first. The men have an 18-hole playoff if there's a tie. So here's the worst-case scenario. You have a weather delay, you have a Monday finish, and then you have a tie and a Tuesday playoff, you know? Ooh. So now you've lumped way into the next week. The second thing is that a golf course, and I've been going to the U.S. Open since the late 80s, and by the end of a U.S. Open, the golf course is really close to dead, you know? I mean, it's taken right to the edge. Now, here's the USGA's thinking about having the women going second. First off, they think it's a great PR intro for the Women's Open. It's a great way to bring more attention to the women's game is to have the men's game before it. Everybody's talking about first time ever, back-to-back opens. So you get a running start into the Women's Open. So that's reason A. And reason B is it's easier to put water on a golf course than it is to take it off. While the greens will putt at the same speed for the men and the women's U.S. Open, they're going to have to soften them up for the women because the women can't spin the ball as well as the men do. So it's easier to make the green softer after the men's open for the women than it would be to make them firmer after the women's open for the men.
Okay, so the idea that if they'll have to make greens for the men very soft so that they stand up going through the 2 weeks to the women's open isn't a concern of theirs. They're going to keep them fast and firm and then drench them so they come back to life after the men are finished with them.
Right, and here's the, you know, I mean, here's another thing that, it just sounded a little odd when Mike Davis, the executive director, said this. He said, you know, we're going to tell the men, there are some holes, there's like four or five holes. Essentially, they're going to set the course up so that the women, when they play it, are driving the ball past where the landing area was for the men, so okay. They're not going to be in a lot of divots.
Great.
But there's about four holes that are short par fours, par fives, where the layup areas are going to be the same for both the men and the women. And one of the things Mike Davis said is, we're going to tell the men, hey, in your practice rounds, you know, don't hit four wedge shots, you know, from there. Try to take divots sparingly. So that sort of shows that, you know, that there is going to be some concern there. And look, there's no way there's not going to be some complaints. Now, here's the USGA's way of thinking, and I don't really have a problem with that. Part of what championship golf tests is how resilient you are when you get bad breaks. And, you know, if your ball happens to roll into a sand-filled divot, well, you know, that's just the way the game goes. And the fact is, everybody's playing the same golf course. Is there a chance somebody's going to get a bad break? Yeah. But that chance of somebody getting a bad break is the same for everybody. So they would view it as like, okay, you're all playing the same golf course. It may be a little bit beat up, but have at it.
All right. So about the changes, you know, you're talking about short par fives or par fours. The par five fourth is going to be played as a par four?
Yeah, you know, and the biggest change that here, and this is another reason why the back-to-back opens could work. They've essentially taken all the rough out of here, and they've made it waste areas. Sandy, you know, which is the soil of Pinehurst, is, you know, this is the sand hills of North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
It's built on very sandy soil. So what they've done is, and this is actually a very, very good, and the USGA sees this as a sort of an example of what affordable golf in the future could be. They took out something like 700, they took out 35 acres of rough and 700 sprinkler heads.
Wow.
So they don't have, there's all this stuff that used to be grass, that used to be rough, that they had the water, and now they don't. It's waste area and sand area. That's going to make the course play very, very linksy, and it's also going to make it a golf course that is cheaper to maintain, and I also think a golf course that will bounce back quicker from the one open to the next open.
Interesting. Ron Sarak is the executive editor, Golf World, and senior writer, Golf Digest. We're talking to him. He's at the USGA annual meeting at Pinehurst. One other issue came up, and I think a colleague of yours talked about this, and I'm not sure, you cover all of the major championships. I think last year you only missed one, right?
Yeah, I did eight last year. I'll do eight this year.
Okay, so you're going to stick around for the U.S. Women's Open after the U.S. Men's Open.
Yep, I have women's U.S. Women's Open back to back, and I also have the British Open, men's and the women back to back. In that one, the women, they're not on the same golf course, and the women go first.
Okay, but my question is, how many media people will be assigned to stay for both events?
This is what's going to be interesting as to whether or not it translates into more media coverage for the women. You know, I would guess some of the major outlets like the Associated Press and the New York Times and USA Today will probably stay for both. The local papers will certainly stay for both. I do think that they'll get somewhat better media coverage. I think the back-to-back women British Opens will probably, what you'll see happen is some writers who are covering the men's open may come in on the weekend and cover the last 2 days of the women's open and then stay for the the British. I think in both of those cases that the women are going to benefit from better media coverage.
Oh, that's excellent. Okay. It is a great opportunity for the women and the men. The women seem to be more very worried. Of course, the guys don't have to worry because they go first. But is
there's
Mike,
there's a lot that could go wrong.
Yeah. Yes. Mike Davis is going to be in Phoenix, I understand, to talk to them.
Yes, he's going to a players' meeting, and he's going to address them. And you know, here's the points that he's going to make. I mean, and this is a quote from him. He said, "While these are two distinct championships, we'll be looking at it as one big event, which means that, that they are going to try to use the full public relations marketing machine of the USJ and all their corporate partners to bring better attention to the women's game." And he said, "This was never about making it operationally easier or trying to save money." I'm not entirely sure that I'm buying that, because they are saving a lot of money by not having to move, you know, not having to build your infrastructure twice, the bleachers and laying TV cables and all that stuff. And basically the point that they want to make is that, that they think that this is really going to help showcase the women's game. And, I, in theory, that's all true. As I said, a lot could go wrong. We don't know if nature will cooperate.
And that's, in golf, that's always the big question. I mean, you know, what are they putting up with at Pebble Beach? You know, and it was funny watching Phil Mickelson is just so wonderful, because he didn't know what the forecast was this weekend. And he said something to the effect of, what's the forecast? And they told him it's going to be, you know, like this or worse. And he goes, oh, good. Oh, you know, after all, I'm a defender. I'm a Scottish Open and Open champion. Weather doesn't affect me. Any other
Phil didn't know the forecast. Phil knows everything.
I
How
know.
Did he not know the forecast?
But there was a twinkle in his eye and a smile on his face when he said, "I'm a Scottish Open and Open champion." You know, wind doesn't, the weather conditions don't affect. It was just wonderful. It was one of those moments where you just go, "I love you, Phil." There's so much happening. This is the last year that NBC, that's done golf forever and ever, is going to cover golf, right? Does Fox take over next year?
Yeah, we've had the U.S. Open. NBC has had it for 20 years, and ESPN's had it for 33 years, and they're both out after this year, and Fox takes over the first year. 2015 will be the first year of a 12-year, $1.1 billion deal that the USGA has
and
with Fox.
They're worried about saving money at the USGA? It seems like they got a lot of money. Are they confident that Fox can, you know, deal with them right the way NBC has?
I had last night after dinner, I ran into the person who's been hired as the new executive producer for golf for Fox, Mark Loomis. He's here. He's done some golf before. He's done baseball before. I think if you look at Fox's track, I mean, they haven't done golf in the United States. Their sister company, Sky Sports, does golf in Europe. But if you look at their track record in NASCAR, baseball, football, Fox does a pretty good job of figuring out what the audience wants and then giving it to them. And I think they'll do the same thing with golf. You know, they'll figure out now. We're not going to know until we see what their product is like, but I do think they do a pretty good job of figuring out what's going to make the audience happy, and then they make the audience happy.
Excellent. Okay, so I loved the tweet. Ron Syrak, you can follow Ron Syrak at Ron Syrak on Twitter, and he often has some very enlightening comments. One of them about the USJ annual meeting at Pinehurst, where he's at, is all the good stuff's happening inside the closed doors I can't get through. did they let you in?
Well, all their sessions, executive committee members and everything like that is all behind closed doors. What they had yesterday is they announced the Bob Jones Award winner. The Bob Jones Award is the highest award the USGA gives, and we go over to Pinehurst, to behind the 18th green at number 2 course, where there's the big statue of Payne Stewart celebrating when he won here in 1999, just 4 months before he died. And they announced that Bob Jones was that Payne Stewart was the Bob Jones Award winner. Mm-hmm. And I'm standing next to a USGA executive, and that person asked me, were you surprised at who won? And I said, well, I had eliminated myself, so that was I figured it wasn't going to be me. So other than that, I wasn't surprised.
Oh, my. You know, well, it just, frankly, the reason I said let him in, and I did, I tweeted, you know, come on, USGA, let him in. He represents us. And if we're members of this grand organization that thinks it's, you know, a lot of people here, I've heard people refer to it as the United States Girls Association, because they take themselves so seriously, that but they don't let us in. And I
well,
mean,
we have our public session today. I mean, they had the press conference this morning with O'Toole and Davis. Then they did this workshop on pace of play that, quite frankly, in my mind, had a pace of play issue. It sort of was dragging on.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to do a strategic initiative press conference this afternoon. And then at 4:30, they have what is the annual meeting. And that's sort of like a board of, you know, it's like a stockholders meeting. So it is open to the public. And if you want to raise questions, or that's the time to do it. I think that they're trying to get better at being in touch with their constituency and trying to be less of an exclusive organization, and that's certainly the image that they have, and it's certainly an image that the game of golf fights against, you know. And
well, if they're trying to make us more, you know, more welcome, if that seems to be, if that's what they want to do, then they really need to open up the doors. And I thought Glenn Nager, for all of his, I don't know, backdoor dealings that he's been accused of, I thought he was kind of moving in that direction. And I hope Tom O'Toole does that.
Well, the messages that came out today are we're taking pace of play, we're taking accessibility and sustainability seriously, and they are. Took a very, very strong stance on opposing bifurcation of the rules. They believe in one set of rules. And they also don't, they seem to be dismissing the PGA of America's request that the ban on the anchored putting stroke be delayed and not go into effect January 1st, 2016. Tom O'Toole seems to be saying that the executive committee of the USGA is unanimous in their feeling that needs to go into effect January 1st, 2016.
Hey, right in time for the Olympics. Ron Cyrek is executive editor of Golf World. Always fabulous talking with you. And are you going to cover the Olympics in 2016?
I certainly hope so.
of course you are.
It's funny, I was just thinking, the only Winter Olympics I ever covered was 20 years ago in Lillehammer. And as the games are starting this week in the Soviet Union, I'm remembering, or Soviet Union, Russia.
Yeah.
I remember being over there then. But it'll be fun to be at it'll be fun to see the return of golf to the Olympics.
Yes,
and,
it
you know,
will be.
We're already seeing the impact that it's had, the creation that the Masters is creating this Latin America Amateur Championship, and the winner gets an invitation to the Masters, follows up on their Asia Pacific Amateur Championship, which has been very, very successful. And, you know, those are all things that are just growing the game globally.
Yeah, I love it. Absolutely love it. All right. Ron Cyrek, thanks so much for being on the show. I look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thanks for having me, Daniel.
Absolutely. Ron Cyrek, executive editor, Golf World, senior writer, Golf Digest. You can always find us at radiogolfclub.com if you missed the entire conversation. And I just want to tell you, we have a new phone number. That's right. You can call in with your questions, your comments, or your suggestions, and the number is 844-332-8500. So call 844-332-8500 with your questions about your game, or you can let us know what the funniest or most memorable moment was for you on the golf course. We'll probably do contests as well. So you want to write the number down. You could be a winner. The number is 844-332-8500. Susan Fornoff is up next, and I'm looking forward to talking to her. She's the author of Confessions of a Golf Slut. She loves the game. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
Okay, we're just having a few technical glitches, as, you know, computers are wont to do. When we used to have control of all the buttons and the things, there's always been technical glitches. Okay, let's get right into the show with Graham McDowell. He's over at the ATT Pro-Am at Pebble Beach. And during the pre-tournament interviews, Graham was talking about playing with his dad, the outgoing and incoming guys on the Ryder Cup teams, and having a beer with Clint Eastwood, which was kind of dad's like hope that he'd have a beer with Clint Friday night. Did you hear about Clint Eastwood performing the Heimlich maneuver? For the first time, he learned how to do it, and he had an opportunity to save someone's life, the AT&T Pro-Am tournament director. So one of the questions posed to him during the pre-tournament interview was, why did he start, you know, at something that wasn't hard? He said, well, because I wanted to shake the rust off. And he may not make the cut. But he was also talking about the Ryder Cup, okay? And this is coming up. He said a lot of guys have been playing on the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup for years and years and years. I can think of one person in particular. And they're suffering burnout. Have you ever thought about that? You know, being honored to play in something as honored as the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup, and hopes to be honored as much as the Ryder Cup. But this is what Graham McDowell had to say. It's an interesting comment. Can we bring that up? And it's number five. Yes. We should be able to bring up. The European team is going to see maybe Sergio Garcia, Bjorn Borg, Henrik Stenson, Stefan Gallagher, who successfully defended in Dubai last week. We'll see what the American team looks like. What did he say about the American team?
Really wanted to come and start my year here and kind of ease into the season, if you like, and come somewhere which obviously has great memories and great emotions, and, you know, be able to play here with my dad this week. We came in Saturday morning, played San Francisco Golf Club on Saturday, and Monterey Peninsula Sunday, Cypress Point yesterday, and Pebble today. So getting some course time and shaking the rust off the game a little bit, gearing up really for the year.
Thank you. We're going to have the comment from the Ryder Cup. I teased you about that. Let's bring in Susan Fornoff. Susan, welcome to the show.
Good morning. I'd like to shake my rust off at San Francisco Golf Club and Cypress Point.
Aren't you at Pebble Beach?
I'm not at Pebble Beach today. I'm in Oakland, California, where it's pouring, raining. So I kind of enjoy watching the Saturday festivities on television at Pebble Beach.
So Susan Fornoff, you can find her at Gotta Go Golf. GotGoGolf.com. She's an avid golfer. She's an author, a journalist by nature, a sports reporter by passion. She even did media relations for the World Cup soccer in 1994. She formed the Association for Women in Sports Media. The first question I got to ask you, are you going to go cover the Olympics in 2016?
Do you know that is one of the few things I have never covered an Olympics? Ever. I've covered Super Bowls, World Series, U.S. Open golf, U.S. Open tennis, no Olympics.
Well, you got to go.
I got to go golf.
Oh, you got to go golf. Okay, well, you know, if you can go, got to go golf, and you can do that in Brazil. I know there's got to be a golf course nearby. In fact, I know there is. They're building the one still for the 2016 Olympics. You wrote Lady in the Locker Room after covering baseball. You wrote Northern California Golf Getaways. All of these are very nice books. And then the title, it's difficult to say the title of your book on the radio. Confessions of a Golf.
Okay. So we have to talk about where that title came from.
I was going to add, that's my next question. I even wrote it down. Why the title and why did you write the book? How's that?
I'm going to be an easy interview. I can just ask my own question. So when you interview a journalist, they can just ask themselves questions. But, yes, I'm thinking of this because Tommy's mother always used to play in the AT&T. She'd have the yo-yo. Do you remember that? And some people got upset because, you know, his yo-yo was supposedly distracting. I don't know. I think kind of the yo-yo created a good tempo for his swing, and that's why he used it. But anyway, Tommy's mother told me, he said, my wife's a golf slut. He meant it as a compliment because he said a golf slut will play golf anywhere, anytime, with anyone. And I think I might have blushed maybe when he said this because I realized it wasn't just his wife that described. And it was, you know, that was me. And so that's what the title of the book comes from. And some people maybe are offended by it, but gee, I just want people to remember it.
It's a catchy title name. Now, one of the stories you tell is something that I think a lot of people know happens in life, but they still fall for it every time, and it's called social media dating. You get to know somebody on social media, then you decide to go have, like, you know, a date, because you sound like you really connect, you both like the same things, and in this case, it was golf, and the adventure was not what you thought it would be. Tell us a little bit about it. Just tease us.
So my book does have a lot of golf dates in it, which is a nice thing to talk about while you have someone sleeping with his putter also on your show.
Right.
So
you heard Parker.
Golf relationship. yes, this gentleman, he was a member of the Olympic Club, he told me, you know, and maybe a 15 handicapper and, you know, golf enthusiast. And I saw his picture and he had a really good job and or career and blah, blah. But he didn't want to meet at the golf course. He wanted to pick me up on the way.
He wanted to pick you up at home?
Well, he wanted to pick me up somewhere on the way.
Okay.
So, you know, and I realized later on one of the reasons that when he walked into the coffee shop where we met, I was wondering, what happened to the guy that was in the picture? Mm. This man didn't look anything like him. He didn't have the hair that the man in the picture had. He had some other purchased version of it. He was way overweight, and this was not at all as he made himself appear. And then we got on the golf course, and he had no game. And it turned out that the Olympic Club has an athletic club component, and that's what he was a member of. I can't believe he ever really went there. But while we were on the golf course, it was just really pretty bad. And I remember I got to the ninth green, and I was looking all around for him. He was in the cart, and all of a sudden I feel this pain in my breast, and I looked down, and there was the golf ball, and it hit me.
Ouch!
It hit me. It landed on the green, and I said, you know, hit a spot that he never would, obviously. And
yes.
So he just was. Yes, it was just somebody who, you know, misportrayed himself, and you can't, it's pretty hard to do that on the golf course.
And your suggestion to women is just book a tee time as a single and, you know, take your, a lot of women are uncomfortable with that.
Oh, yeah, so I was listening to what you said about the United States Girls Association, and I thought, oh, that's kind of insulting. But, you know, what you said was we take ourselves so seriously, and I think that's a problem. I mean, look at golf. Only 20% of the players, that's on a good day, and that's not in Hawaii, where I think your numbers, there are more women playing golf in Hawaii. But, you know, in the United States, maybe 1 in 5 golfers is a woman. That means 4 in 5 golfers are men. Ladies, you know, this is a great place to meet a man. And, you know, chances are he may have good manners. He, you know, he probably, if he can afford to play golf, you know, he's got some sort of income. So, you know, we're kind of ruling out a lot of questionable characters already.
Very, very good points. Let me interject here. KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. Now, A lot of women feel intimidated, though, by the, and in our emails, I've told you, you know, I've been on the Golf Pro Shops case for, I don't know, years, and I meant it as no insult whatsoever other than open up the doors, USGA. You know, having behind the closed door executive meetings, and but you meet out these decisions that we all have to quote unquote live by. Sometimes it's very difficult to take it all very seriously, and I'm going to go plunk down $65. That's how much it costs to play a round of golf at a golf course on Oahu, unless I can get a tee time at a Muni. And then it'll be $25-$35, depending on whether I do 9 or 18 holes. So that's a lot of money for a round of golf. And that doesn't include what I've paid to wear the right shoes and to have the right clubs and to have them fitted, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so sometimes they seems like they're an exclusive club meeting out decisions that are supposed I'm supposed to take so seriously, but they don't give me a sense that I'm actually included in the club that I pay membership to be a part of. And that's where I find it all just a little bit hard to swallow. We're talking with Susan Fornoff. She's a journalist, a sports reporter, and she's a writer. She's at GottaGoGolf.com. She wrote a book, but her passion really is getting women into the game. So what would you do? Because our pro shops are getting much more inviting. They're actually listening now, because when you start plunking down dollar bills to have a drink while you're playing, that really opens up their eyes.
Yes, let's say the book title again, Confessions of a Golf Slut. We have to say it three times during the interview. That's one of the marketing rules. And yes, I think, you know, a lot of the efforts have been about getting business women to see that this can help their future. But I think a lot of the efforts should be geared at men to make, you know, to make women feel more welcome and more invited. And wouldn't the men out there, the single ones, wouldn't they actually like to meet a woman at a golf course? And as long as, you know, we're feeling like outsiders, the chances of that happening are not really good for the guys.
So it's important for women to learn the game. And you can become a member of the Executive Women's Golf Association, where you don't have to have a handicap, but you'll get one as a member. And you'll learn from women, and men, by the way, can join. We are having a rules clinic with Mary B. Porter King tomorrow, 3:00 in the afternoon at Pearl Country Club. Let me know if you'd like to be there. My email address is thegolfclub808@gmail.com. thegolfclub808@gmail.com. Just let us know, because we'll have handouts and just fun. It's about 2 hours. It starts at 4:00. Mary B. flying in from Kauai. So Susan Fornoff, I think women need to tell men what they want. And if we start letting them know what we want, give us, you know, when we come into the pro shop, we don't know what we're cruising around looking for. You need to approach us and say, hi, welcome. That's the first thing. We just need to feel like, hi, you're welcome to come in. Sometimes I've walked into pro shops and they're like, la-di-di-dum-di. They look everywhere but at me.
Oh, I went in a shop last winter at a course I wasn't familiar with, and no one else was in the shop, and the man at the desk immediately he looked up at me and he said, hi, great sweater.
Oh, how wonderful.
Oh, I know. I said, who trained you? Because this is the Nordstrom approach. We want to be treated like we just made your day by walking into the shop. Sorry, the men don't care about that. But we do.
Yes, exactly. That's perfectly said. Susan Fornoff, GottaGoGolf.com, avid golfer. And I'm not being paid to say this, because you don't pay to be on the show, but following your marketing rules, Susan is author of Confessions of a Golf Slut, and it's a fun book to read. And just you don't need a brown cover for that, okay? It has nothing to do. It's just a woman who loves to play the game, and under any conditions, it's raining, it's, you know, it's cloudy, who cares? I'm going to go play because I enjoy it. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Have a great day.
You too. Aloha. We're going to talk next about how you can increase your swing speed. Jacob Bowden, you know, I wonder if he's going to represent Switzerland in the Olympics in 2016. He's president of Swingman Golf, professional golfer, and swing speed trainer. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Why wait to drive the Acura ILX? Why wait to experience design with purpose? An exterior so unique, you have to see it to believe it. Why wait to grab life by the wheel when you can do it now with paddle shifters in the Acura ILX? Why wait another 25 years to get what you want? The 2014 Acura ILX. Don't wait. Have a quarter life crisis.
The 2014 ILX. Visit your local Acura dealer today.
The Acura RDX is incredibly spacious, with over 38 inches of rear legroom and over 76 cubic feet of cargo space. With leather-trimmed seating surfaces, the RDX interior was named one of Ward's 10 Best. The 2014 Acura RDX. Create your own space in the world. Acura reminds you to properly secure items stored in cargo area.
The 2014 RDX. Visit your local Acura dealer today.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
The jet stream is lower than usual. We're going to have one of those kind of partly cloudy, sometimes sunny days with really black clouds and occasional rain, windward and mocha areas, and the winds are out of the northeast, so it's going to feel like if you're in a place that's exposed, it's going to be chilly. Raft's kind of shaking around over there trying to warm up. Of course, we're in this air-conditioned comfort over here. Graham McDowell. He's playing with his dad at Pebble Beach. He started out on the AT&T Pro-Am at Pebble Beach just to kind of have fun, which was what everybody said. This is just to kind of have fun. Jacob Bowden, welcome to the show.
Hey, Danielle. I hope my connections here is okay. I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you sometimes.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. We'll try to make it easy for you. I just had this interesting thought. You know, you are Swiss, right?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Are you from Switzerland?
No. I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri, and I've been living in Zurich, Switzerland since November 2007.
See, I thought if you were Swiss, you could represent Switzerland in golf in 2016.
Right. Well, I got another, I think I would be just shy of being able to get a Swiss passport for 2016. I think it got 10 or 11 years. So
it's 10 years. If after being married for 10 years to a Swiss citizen, you can become a Swiss citizen. I think it is. That would be fun. I mean, you know, just the whole idea of golf being back in the Olympics is a wonderful thing, and it'll start 2016. Of course, everybody's jazzed because the Olympics are going on. But Jacob Bowden is president of Swingman Golf. He's a professional golfer and he's a swing speed trainer. And he was just named, like it happened a couple of months ago. He's the eGolf Professional Tour Swing Speed Trainer. That's fantastic. Congratulations. Oh, we do have a...
I'm sorry, the connection's going in now.
Is there any way you can call back in?
Should I try calling back in?
I think that would be a really good idea. If you were, because we can hear you really fine, and in the meantime, I'll have Graham.
Okay, let me check.
Yeah, call back in. In the meantime, we'll have Graham McDowell talking about the, you know, I hadn't really thought about it that much, you know, but then when he said it, I thought, you know, that's right. Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Steve Stricker, Jim Furyk. I mean, the list is long. The old guard. I never thought of Tiger as being the old guard, but he's been playing on a President's Cup or a Ryder Cup team for years. And this is what Graham McDowell talked about during the pre-tournament interviews, about the new energy that's coming in.
Here in the U.S., I mean, a lot of young guys breaking onto the scene, you know, the last, you know, half dozen years, you know, the Bubbas and Dustin Johnsons and, you know, the Webb Simpsons, these kind of guys, Ricky Fowlers, et cetera, I mean, have brought a huge amount of passion and interest level from the U.S. side of things, as opposed to the four or five, half a dozen guys who I feel like have been playing Ryder Cups and President's Cups for the last 15 years. So, I mean, it's tough to get up for it every year, you know, when it just becomes a little monotonous, I'm sure. I mean, it's a special event, but, you know, I think there's been injections of enthusiasm from both sides of the Atlantic regards young players and guys who really embrace it.
Absolutely, and for the European team, he seems like Bjorn Borg, Henrik Stenson, Stefan Gallagher, you know, who successfully defended in Dubai last week. So it'll just be fun to see how this Ryder Cup is going to shape up. And I hope Jacob Bowden, who's the president of Swingman Golf and a professional golfer and the eGolf Tour swing speed trainer, official trainer of the eGolf Tour. Can you hear me now, Jacob?
Yeah, it's better than last time. It's still a little bit fuzzy, but it's much better than the first time.
Excellent. This is the first bad connection we've had all morning. Where are you calling in from?
I'm in Zurich, Switzerland right now.
Oh, no wonder you're calling from Zurich. What's the weather like? Oh, dear.
It is in the 30s, and it's kind of cloudy, so it's not exactly golf weather.
No. Tell us, I'm just going to ask you a question, and I hope you hear it. How can I, you said for every, give me an idea, for every a certain amount of, let me see, how do I want to phrase this? As you increase your strength and your swing speed increases, you gain a certain amount of yardage. Tell me how much yardage I can gain by increasing my swing speed, and tell us how we can increase our swing speed.
Yeah, there's swing speed training, roughly for every 1 mile an hour of club head speed that you increase your club head speed, you'll get about 2.5 yards more distance. So if you get 10 more miles an hour of club head speed, then you're going to get roughly 25 yards more distance with the driver. It depends a little bit on how efficient you are. Some people are a little bit more efficient than others, but that's a rough estimate of how much you could get, I guess. And then as far as how long it takes to get that, normally with about 30 days of training, it's fairly common for the people that I work with to get about 12 to 16 miles an hour, so about 30 or 40 yards with their driver. And it's a little bit different than golf fitness. So golf fitness is certainly a lot more popular in the last 10 or 15 years, and it certainly has its place. But you can be fit and not fast. So the training that I do really focuses on training your body to be able to swing faster. Now, there's a most people have a playing speed that they can control and hit relatively straight, and then they have a max speed. So the idea with swing speed training is to spend some time raising your body's maximum speed capability so that proportionally your playing speed goes up as well. So it's with some basic training, that's what you can kind of expect. I've had a few members and people that I've worked with that over the course of 3, 4, 5 months of really, really hard training, they've gone up from the 90s to up in the 130s and start competing in long drives. So it does certainly require a little bit of effort on your part, but if you're willing to put in the effort, there's certainly a lot of distance to be gained. And that, you know, the cool thing about it is that applies to really any skill level, whether, you know, women, seniors, amateurs, even tour players and long drivers. It's I think a lot of people are a little bit surprised that with tour players, they can actually increase their swing speed quite a bit. But again, you know, even tour players don't really work on their speed that much. They may be doing some things with fitness, but not so much with speed. So when you commit a little bit of your training to swing speed training, you can actually pick up quite a bit of distance.
So you don't change coaches. You just learn the process of training your body to move faster with even the same amount of control.
Right. It's meant to be complementary to whatever swing coach or swing fundamentals or swing style that you want to do. It doesn't require swing changes. It's just physical training of getting your body to go faster. And there's two primary components to that. One is just practicing swinging fast. So, you know, if you want to get better at anything, it's, you know, it's usually good to try and do that. So to get faster, you do need to try and go faster. And then the other component is strengthening up your, most importantly, your downswing muscles. So you can train the entire swing, and maybe on a more advanced level, I'd have someone do that, certainly someone training for long drive. But primarily, you know, everyone starts at the top of the backswing at zero and gets to whatever speed they are at impact. So those are the muscles that you use to make that movement are the most important ones to strengthen up and to speed up.
Swingman Golf, and this is Jacob Bowden, the president of Swingman Golf. He is a former Pinnacle Distance Challenge champion. He's a RE/MAX World Long Drive Championship contestant, and he regularly competes in Speed Golf World Championships. An awful lot of fun, where they run from the location of their ball to the next location of their ball. How fast does it take for you guys to play a championship?
With speed golf, the guys at the world championships, the top runners will finish in under an hour. Rob Hogan, one of my friends, Robert Hogan, this year's the world champion. He actually broke 40 minutes. On Bandon Dunes this year, so he's the first person that I know of to break 40 minutes in the World Championships. So the guys are certainly playing 18 holes really, really fast, much different than the 4, 5, 6 hours that a normal round of golf can.
Think about that the next time you're sitting there for 4.5 hours wondering when you're going to finish the next 3 holes. Move along, everybody. You can find Jacob Bowden at swingmangolf.com. Can I learn from you through your website, or do I have to be with you physically?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons for having the membership on the website, is it gives you some basic information to get started with swing speed training. And then, you know, not everyone would be able to work with me in person, so... And there's only so much time in the day. So I do take on clients. I have a number of amateur clients, some long drive clients, and some tour player clients as well. So, you can certainly get started with what's on the website.
Excellent. A former PGA Tour winner, David Gossett, began working with Bowden and a number of other clients, including 3-time European Tour winner Pablo Martin and Asia Tour standouts Grant Jackson and Martin Rominger. Of course, we follow the Asia Tour because we have in Hawaii a lot of guys who played on the Asia Tour. Now, how much have they increased? Are you allowed to say how well they're doing?
Well, let's see. Grant... He, in the first few weeks of his training, he went up 8 miles an hour, and then he won a tournament on the Asian Challenge Tour right after that. And
excellent.
Then Martin was on the course at about 104 and maxing at maybe 107. And then after a few, 4, 5, 6 weeks of training, he was up at 116 on the course, maybe 119 max. So he went from a really... you know, one of the shorter swingers, shorter hitters on tour to an above average power player. And so that was great. And then Pablo, I believe, he was maxing at 119, and then he got up to about 129. So he went up about 10 miles an hour. So, you know, even tour players, again, a lot of these guys are working on fitness, but speed, being fast and being fit are two different things. So.
Awesome. I want to do one thing. I want to give out the phone number, 808-296-5467. 808-296-5467. For Valentine's Day, Poipu Bay Golf Club is giving us two rounds of golf to give to you if you are the ninth caller. Call in now. It's 808-296-5467 because we would love to give you two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay. That's 808-296-5467. Jacob Bowden, I want to ask you one final question. He is Swingman Golf, and you can find him at swingmangolf.com. What is, you have some travel to, you could, when you start this training program that you customize, you have radar for feedback? I'm kind of confused about that.
I'm sorry, the connection cut out there. What was the question again?
Okay, the best results come from, of course, an individualized custom training program, right? But you can still get some results with a few basic things that travel well. Radar, for instance?
Having the radar I like in particular is the Sports Center Swing Speed Radar. It's portable. It's accurate. It's relatively cheap. So, you know, you can pay $100 for one of those instead of like $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 for like an expensive launch monitor. So having some radar for feedback is important. And then
resistance on the club, for instance, and some bands for swinging and strengthening your work. So those bands that people use are really helpful in training once you start the program with you.
Right. We'll incorporate some resistance bands for, in particular with those, with the basic speed training, some isometrics to strengthen up the downswing muscles again. So that's one of the key components to swing speed training is strengthening up your downswing muscles. So the resistance bands can be really useful for that. And then, you know, for people that travel a lot or for a tour player, you have to consider things, you know, they got to carry and travel with what they're carrying or you know, what they need. So those things are lightweight. They pack up really well, and they provide enough resistance to still be able to even give a really strong person a good workout.
Excellent. And congratulations, Jim of Mililani. You have won our Valentine's Day at Poipu Bay special, two rounds at Poipu Bay Golf Course, and we'll be sending them to you. Can't wait for you to go to Kauai and tell me how you enjoyed it. Jacob Bowden, I had no idea you were calling in from Switzerland. You were on the hold for a while. I apologize for that. It's always a pleasure talking to you. You amaze me.
Thanks. got my hands in a lot of different things with golf.
Yeah, it's wonderful because Jacob was one of these people who he had a dream of playing baseball. He tried out for the Minnesota Twins. He realized he wasn't going to make it, but he wanted to do something. He went to a PGA Tour event, felt like he was inside the ropes. It felt right, and then he just committed himself. 6 months later, he had a check for his first professional. Probably wasn't a big check, right? Oh.
When I was
it looks like
27,
it looks like we're going to... It's okay, Jacob. We've got to close the show. And next time we need to we make sure that we have a better connection with you. Thanks so much for being on with us.
I'll be back.
Okay. Jacob Bowden, thanks for being on. And thank you, my wonderful sponsors, for being, you know, the people who make this show possible. Because without you, we would not be able to buy the airtime. Brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Get the city-sized luxury of the ILX with a special lease starting at just $209 a month. Or take advantage of the special 0.9% APR. That's 0.9. Acura once again proves its amazing overall value, winning the ALG Award for overall brand value for 2013. Check them out. There's never been a better time to drive an Acura. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning, nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create that beautiful venue. And thank you for the two rounds of golf that Jim gets to go play at Mililani at Poipu Bay. And, of course, thank you to Star Protection for your property threat and risk assessment. Get the Star team to check it out and put in a security system that works for your property at Star Protection. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2014.